Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Welcome to The Gayser Revolting, your definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Gays Revolting and on Instagram at Gays Revolting Pod. Hey, Queen!
Hey.
Hello!
How are we all?
Good.
Back again.
We're very excited to be back. Unfortunately, Luke's off sick this week.
Yeah. Aww.
But so, fortunately, I'm back.
But Kyle is back. So joining us for the podcast today, we have the man who's been fired from ABC TV, and so he has enough time to do our podcasts, Mr. Tom Ballard.
Yay. Very busy, actually. Very busy.
Sure you are.
Very busy. Hello, everyone.
Of course, we also have Mikey, Luke's understudy, because to quote the Aussie Butler Party, who I'm voting for in this weekend's state election, they all look the same to me. And finally, to my left, we have Kyle, also known by his drag name, Naive Campbell. And just like the 1996 film Scream, he's cheap, problematic, and has a very basic plotline. How are you, my lovely
guys? Welcome back.
Yeah, good.
Brutal.
Thanks so much for coming and joining us, Tom.
Pleasure to be here.
Very thrilled to have you. We thought we might have a little bit of a chat with you first before we get into things, if that's okay.
With me?
Yes.
I don't have anything to say to contemporary gays. All right, fine.
Now, our producer's very kindly done some research on you for us. And it's lucky he did, because basically all I know about you is from us clubbing at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And they're kind of questions I can't really ask you here. So to get started, here's something I didn't know about you. You were school captain and ducks of your school. So
I've never mentioned that to you.
You've never mentioned that to me, no. And you do like to talk about yourself a lot.
What's ducks again?
Ducks is like head boy.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm sure you were as well. So you're obviously very smart.
Obviously.
So what made you choose a career in comedy?
Smart people do comedy, you guys.
Well, I mean, you have, to be honest and fair, you have proven that you are intellectually quite able.
Dull.
But, you know, you probably could have gone into some more guaranteed high-paid professions.
I think I could have been a lawyer by now. I did. Yeah. I started a law degree. I did 6 weeks and dropped out. No, failure led me to doing comedy. I wanted to be an actor. That was my dream. I was going to be the greatest actor of my generation.
Yep.
And then I didn't get into NIDA.
No.
And so I'd done stand-up because it was like another chance to get some attention on stage. And I sort of just kept doing that. And then and here I am.
But you ended up getting to do some acting. You've done, was it It's a Date? Is that what
yes.
it's called? It's a Date, where you were Joel Creasy's boyfriend.
Yes.
And I think, and I love him dearly, but pretending to be Joel Creasy's boyfriend. You know, that's some good acting chops there.
I know, yeah. No, that was actually the toughest role of my career. Mm. Yes, I've done a bit of that. I probably am more likely to get acting work now, sort of cheating by getting through comedy.
You're doing the old Bert Newton.
Oh, yes.
The back door of Bert Newton entrance.
That old poof, yes. That's the dream.
So you worked at Triple J for 7 years, including hugely popular breakfast show. What was it like being an openly gay radio announcer? Did you experience any backlash or homophobia from listeners? listeners.
You know what is so weird? It's this weird sort of postmodern version of homophobia where people are cool with gay people, but they don't want you to bang on about it. I would just be telling a story about my boyfriend, and people would literally text in. It's like, Tom, we get it. You're gay.
Oh my god! Just stop throwing my face.
Exactly. And it was, I reckon the Triple J audience would think, you know, we're pretty cool and tolerant kind of people. We don't really give a shit about that. And then, those little things every now and again. It's like, I'm not trying to make some big point here. Mm. Yeah, that was interesting. But I think I did get the impression from some tradies, a lot of tradies listen to Triple J Breakfast, that I was perhaps the first non-overly camp gay man that they'd ever sort of listened to for a long period of time. And they were like, oh, he's like gay, but he's just like a guy.
He's just like cool though.
You know, in a small way, that might have made a little bit of a difference somewhere. Yeah.
It is interesting. I don't want to name drop or whatever, but Tom and I were recently on a holiday together in Bali.
Oh, yes.
And, with, you know, my dear close personal friend Joel Creasy and some other fags. And but we were sitting at dinner at this restaurant, and there was this massive table, like 25 blokey Aussie. Perth. Later found out that they were miners and tradies from Perth.
Oh, goodness.
And it was a Bucks trip to Bali, and they were the kind of guys that, you know, you sort of feel a bit threatened about.
Yeah.
And there's us four in our singlets and our short shorts with our mimosas and stuff. And we were sitting there, and they sent over four tequila shots to our table.
Oh my god!
And we were like, "What the fuck? Like that?
Like what's
going
on?
Like are they like making a joke about us? Like?" And it just instantly we assumed that they were having a go at us.
You do, though.
Yeah, and it was. So then we sent back two pina coladas. And said, this is for the Bucks and his fiance, because it was all men.
Oh.
And we were like having this battle of buying drinks for the other table. But then they came over and they were like, oh, like we don't want to interrupt, but they recognized Tom. We're talking to Tom, and it was really lovely. Oh, but there was also a little bit of that, I actually like you kind of. You know what I mean? Like, you're a gay.
Imagine.
No, I don't mean in that sense of like, oh, you're a gay guy, but I don't mind that kind of a thing. Mm. Do you sort of sense that as being a sense of homophobia?
Yeah, I've always tried sometimes to walk this fine line of I'm a proud gay man, I'm not an overly camp gay man, but I love camp people, and I never want to come across like, oh yeah, these bloody faggy gays aren't, you know, should tone it down a bit or whatever, but I would just always hope that just being myself represents, you know, the different kind of gays that are out there.
Totally.
And they're all beautiful and welcome.
That's right.
So you were involved in season 2 of First Contact, a show based on the premise that 6 out of 10 Australians have little to no meaningful contact with Indigenous Australians. You travelled to some of the most remote parts of Northern Territory. What did you learn from those experiences?
Ooh, I learned that out there in the middle of the Northern Territory, political correctness doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
And all my preconceived inner suburban lefty white guilt-ringing thoughts, they don't give a shit about that at all. I found out that the issues out there are extremely complex and mildly depressing. But I also, like, had my mind blown. You know, we went to this place called Bawaka, which is this remote Aboriginal community in Arnhem Land. And it's just, like, that's where Yothu Yindi are from. And it's just, like, I'm not a spiritual person at all.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, being on the beach in front of a bonfire while the Indigenous flag is flying and they're singing songs from you in language. It was transcendent.
Yeah,
that was incredible. But at the same time, going to some towns that are seriously messed up from drug and alcohol abuse just because they're miles and miles away from anything else.
Was it worse than you were expecting?
We stayed at this night. I forget the name of the town now. It's known as a town that Australia's forgot. It's literally in the middle of nowhere. And we stayed at this council flat there. There was about 18 people living in the one house. It was filthy and disgusting.
Oh my gosh.
We went out hunting for a kangaroo that they shot with a shotgun and then cooked up on this dirty piece of corrugated iron in the backyard.
Yeah.
That definitely gave me the shits. That's learning. I could feel it. It was sort of everything. It was an experience that made me like really happy and really sad and scared and confused all at the same time. I've got to go back really.
Yeah, it does a real eye opener.
Yeah, totally. Wow. There's so many moments where I was like, I'm in the same country that I grew up in, and I have to remind myself of that. Yeah.
What do you think, like, the average inner city suburban white lefty, as you said, can do to actually help this situation?
Give money if you have money.
Yeah.
If you have money, I mean, things like the Indigenous Indigenous Literacy Foundation, or, you know, some very basic organizations that provide very basic services are really important. I don't know. I mean, yeah, man, I walked away from the whole thing just being like, more funding for stuff, I guess, slash a radical overhaul and approach to how we think about Indigenous people and what it means to keep culture alive. Mm. Again, I'm split. I'm like, that experience made me think that acknowledgement of country is both really important and also doing nothing at all. Mm. So I don't know.
Oh, thanks for your insight.
Don't be David Oldfield.
Yeah.
Who was on the show with me.
That's a very
good point. Don't be him if possible.
Okay, so you've obviously been on television, like,
obviously.
Very in the public eye, real talk, what's it like dating on the gay scene when you're so famous and recognizable?
Occasionally humiliating, I assume. Most people on Grindr are like, man, Joel Creasy got fat. Oh man. I don't know. I've no hang ups about that. I'm on Grindr with my face and profile. I'm on the apps with
I'm on Grindr with your face.
Oh yes.
Yeah, that do people cool. like think you're a catfish because you're you?
There's been a little bit of like, why are you using Tom Ballard's photo? I was like, if people were using a fake profile, if you could choose,
you're like, thank you very much.
Why would you go? I guess, yeah, that's someone with very low self-esteem.
No, you're beautiful.
Thank you. Obviously, on the inside. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I'm single and dating, and you know, the fact of what I do is going to come up anyway. So you might as well tackle it head on. And I've definitely got laid because of that fame. High five. But obviously the dream is to find someone who that isn't important to. Yeah. I mean, a little bit. Yeah. Like, they need to be a little bit impressed. Yeah. And if they're not familiar with my work, I don't want to date them.
Yeah. You want them to like you enough to give you positive feedback.
Yes.
I don't know her.
Quote a couple of your stand-up shows.
Yes.
But not be obsessed. Yeah, sure.
I've had a few relationships with people who are sort of exactly... One of my boyfriends was a video editor. So he sort of was in the industry. He knew stuff about shows. Was still a little bit impressed by comedy, but also was also like, I don't care that much.
That's a good balance.
That's a sweet spot.
So if you're listening, if you're in the production field,
you've just moved to Melbourne. Anyone in Melbourne wants to date Tom Ballard, just get in touch. We'll forward it on.
So your ABC late night program, Tonightly with Tom Ballard, was critically acclaimed but axed after only 1 year.
Mm.
Why do you think they made the decision to end the show?
I don't know. Why do you think,
Michael? I have no idea.
What was your favourite episode, would you say?
The one where you did the thing and you stood there and you spoke.
That was good.
The guy at the banks.
That was some of our finest work. You fucking...
God, if the gays aren't watching.
No!
I watched Tom and I did think it was good, and I don't generally like your stuff. I don't mind.
So we have an answer.
Sure. I'd always loved it. I was, you know, it was on every night. It was like Monday to Friday. I'd walk down the street and people go, oh, Tom, I'm a big fan. What are you doing these days? Clearly not enough publicity.
Ouch.
I think it was axed because of a range of factors. One of them being the small ratings, because it was a comedy show for young people, and young people did not watch television.
Yeah,
Free to air for sure. Maybe we were a little bit rude and got in trouble a little bit, which I was quite proud of. And also, the ABC is on fire.
People
are getting fired left, right, and center. The people who started the show when we started there didn't actually work there by the time it came around. I'm mixed. I'm like, love the fact that it existed at all. It was really cool. I loved doing that show.
And it was a really good show. And I, listeners, if you haven't watched it, like, I'm not just blowing smoke up Tom's ass because I don't actually like inflating his ego any bigger than it is. But jump on YouTube or on... is it still on Ivy?
No, they've taken it
all
down.
They've taken it off Ivy, even though they own it, and it doesn't cost them anything to have it up there.
Mm. It's weird and a little bit fucked.
Yeah. There's some really amazing bits that you were talking about that weren't being talked about on free-to-air television on other programs. So I think you should be proud of the show.
I'm proud
just
of
not
the
very
show.
Proud of the ratings.
And from a queer point of view, like, you know, we had a segment called So You Think You Can Trans, when Cassie Workman, who's a trans comedian, you know, made these really amazing pieces about the trans experience. Yeah, that was cool. We had a lot of like genderqueer and queer people putting them on TV. That was really cool.
You never had me on there, but
that is
okay.
Weird, isn't it? Weird.
I mean, I've been on Channel 10, Channel 7, but yeah, whatever.
Sure.
Since it's been cancelled, the whole controversy and the firing, what was the head of comedy's name that's been fired?
No, the managing director.
Managing director. Yeah.
Michelle Guthrie, she got fired. Yes. And Justin Milne, the chairman of the ABC,
then had to resign.
Who definitely hated our show.
Yeah, so since all of that's happened, these documents and stuff have been leaked, and a lot of the conversations were about your show, which is kind of... Are you sort of sitting there just cackling, eating popcorn, watching him getting... Because he hated it.
He specifically hated us, yes. We had a sketch where we called, referred to a candidate for the Australian Conservatives Party, the C word.
Kevin Bailey. Yes. Kevin cunt. Bailey. You can say cunt as many times as you can.
Cunt!
Do you want to say Kevin Bailey is a cunt on our show?
No, I would never say that.
Well, we don't want to get cut as well.
Oh my God.
You're probably rating better than us, to be honest. Yes, so we did that. It was cleared by ACMA. ACMA released a report that included cunt 53 times. So that feels like we left some impact on the political discourse. But he really hated us. And you know, that's all fine. I was like, fine, internally, that's no worries. But just don't be fucking conservative. Like, keep making shit-stirring stuff. I mean, see the Chaser talk about
because
a little bit about it too.
For people that aren't aware, the controversy in a nutshell was that he was sort of taking direction from political leaders on the programming, correct?
He was all about this big project called Project Jetstream, which is about archiving ABC. He was very close friends with Malcolm Turnbull as well.
Yeah.
And the general impression you got from him was like, don't poke the bear, that's a literal quote. You know, let's keep the government on side so we can get money for my
which is not
projects.
The idea of a...
No, ABC. It's almost the opposite of independence, I'd say.
Now, does it have a name? Can we call it Cuntgate?
I believe.
When Cuntgate happened. Yeah. Like, how did it unfold behind the scenes? Was there a lot of pressure on you to apologise? Were you even aware of the controversy, or did they keep that away from you? Protect the talent?
No, well, again, we didn't think anyone was watching, so we were amazed when there was any kind of hoo-ha. The sketch involved Greg Larson talking about renaming the electorate of Batman because John Batman is quite a problematic figure.
Yes.
He said, let's rename it to Batman is a cunt.
Yeah.
And then he showed a series of photos of candidates who are running in Batman saying, just changed where it said Batman is a cunt.
Yeah.
On Kevin Bailey's poster, he didn't have the word Batman, so he said Kevin Bailey is a cunt, which is fine.
Yeah.
And then the episode went to air. People laughed at the studio. It was all fun. It was all great. And then it took a couple of weeks before the Australian Conservatives picked up on it, started writing about it. News Corp Press started going nuts. There were complaints made from the communications minister. And it's just insane that any of that matters and that adults who are in the federal government spent time and effort, you know, standing on their fucking soapboxes when these are the same people who are locking up innocent children in detention centres. I'm like, I'm not taking moral lessons from you cunts. Woo! It feels
amazing.
Good.
Clearly, you are quite vocal about your political leanings.
And fuck you!
I think it's important LGBT people have someone as vocal as you speaking out on issues that affect us, so thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome, everyone.
We've got a state election happening this weekend,
recording time.
By the time this episode is released, the results, we'll release this on Sunday, so the results will be out, but there's a couple of days until then. What issues are important to you on deciding how you'll vote in this state election, but then also when the federal election rolls around? Do you have different things that you prioritise?
Yeah, I mean, I've endorsed the party for the Victorian state election. The Victorian Socialists asked me for my endorsement. I said, yeah, why not? Which is nice to be asked.
I early voted today and the Socialist was quite aggressive with the flyers at the front.
Oh, were they?
She was very aggressive.
She's coming for you.
She's working on a revolution, Tom.
Yeah, I know. It's like, okay, I know that we all own these ballot papers, but...
Would you say who you voted for? Or no?
I voted Labour for the state election. Yeah. I'm generally a Green supporter. I vote for whoever's, I think, the best candidate at elections. I don't think it's healthy to stick to a certain party for everything.
Yeah.
I feel in this Victorian state election, Daniel Andrews and the current Labor government are not perfect, but very strong and doing some great things, and I think that another term will be great for them. At the moment, if we were to go election for the federal election tomorrow, it would be Greens for me.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, look, Victorian Socialists are hoping to get one person in the upper house of the state parliament, which apparently will result in blood running in the streets, according to the Conservatives. Even though government can't get anything done, let alone fucking revolution.
Yeah. Kyle, can I just ask, is any of this making sense to you?
Yes.
Okay, we'll talk about anime later.
Oh,
But I think I'm very far to the left, and I think left strong voices pushing people, holding parties like Labour and Greens to account is really important. And Stephen Jolly, this guy, he says if he gets elected, he's only going to take the wage of a skilled worker, right? So the fee to be in Parliament is something that the yearly wage is like 160 grand. Yeah. He's going to take a skilled worker, which is about 81 grand, and will donate the rest to community causes. So even on that, I'm just like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's
it is. Yeah. But is he going to give us a pride party?
Give me the pride party.
Every day will be a pride party in the socialist utopia.
Now, we are going to get on to some other topics in a second, but before we do, you've got your new stand-up show, which will start touring at the start of next year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Enough?
It's exciting.
It's called Enough, baby.
Is that because people have yelled that at you? Enough! Stop! Get him off!
All right. I'm filling in here.
No,
I'm getting roasted by the gays.
I'm sorry. It's just there's a lot of pent-up stuff. It's been like a week since I've seen you.
Yeah.
No, how's the show coming along?
It's coming along. It's a lot of my socialist banging on. It's enough as in the rich can never have enough, poor people don't have enough, and I've had enough.
Yeah.
It's all that kind of nonsense. So it's me yelling about...
And dick jokes?
And dick jokes.
Oh, good.
Yes, quite a lot of that. Millennials are getting fucked over economically. I can't afford a house. I hate real estate agents. All that kind of stuff. Starts in Perth Fringe in January. It's going to Brisbane, Melbourne and Sydney.
Heaven.
Nice.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
So I work at a photo editing company that deals predominantly with weddings. So a bit of a hot topic at work lately has been this whole white magazine kerfuffle.
We should probably clarify what the white magazine is.
Yeah, so I'm getting there, bitch. For those of you who do not know, white magazine...
The master race is...
White power. No. White magazine, it's like a top bridal and marriage wedding magazine. A few months ago, now there was a whole lot of controversy regarding their position on same-sex marriages. Mm-hmm. It came to light that they were refusing to feature same-sex couples on their cover. When people and clients and like advertisers questioned this, they just remained silent, gave absolutely no response at all. Advertisers have now recently pulled out and the magazine has announced that they're closing down. They're fully playing the victim card.
Oh, yeah.
Saying that they're being bullied. And it's
they're
like,
Australian-based, aren't they?
Yeah, Australian-based, but I think they are international. They're Christian.
Yes,
like,
they are.
Quite Christian. Yes. So they have featured lots of like other diversity, like mixed race couples and everything like that. But the one,
yeah, I saw that one,
the one that they wouldn't feature is same sex couples.
Christianity depends what century you're in as to what you approve of and what you don't approve of.
Yeah. So everyone's like they're going on about like religious freedom under threat. A photographer went on to say like, I fully support religious freedom. This was simply a request for White Magazine to be transparent with their advertisers and contributors so that they could make an informed decision. Mm.
Yeah, the video. Did you watch the video that they made?
No.
Can we?
Yes.
I was like, oh, I hope they're okay. So... Like, if they're, I think there was talk of death threats or violence. Yeah. And there's a shitty behavior. Whatever. Don't do that.
No.
And then I had some sympathy for these people. Then I watched the fucking
so
mewling,
ridiculous.
Victimized so video that they made themselves,
amazing.
Which is them being interviewed by themselves about how tough this decision has been.
Yeah.
It's like really good production values on this awful video
photography magazine.
They said they experienced a flood of judgment and lost a number of advertisers. Their closing statement is so ridiculous. The owner said, "We hope that one day soon our society can learn to accept people." We can learn to accept people's different points of view and love each other no matter what. To summarize, we refuse to accept everyone, but everyone don't accept us because we're white, Christian, hetero, and that's our privilege.
Yeah, that's
maybe take your own fucking advice, you morons. Goodbye, Felicia.
Yeah, it's fucked. Oh, God, I need to see that video now.
Yeah, I want to see
that
video.
Look, there's talk. What annoys me whenever this discussion comes up, it's like, oh, we're not allowed to do this. It's like, no. You're absolutely
like
allowed.
Hypocritical
you're
thing.
Allowed to do whatever you like with your magazine.
Yeah.
But advertisers are allowed to pull out of your magazine. If the question was, are you allowed to not sell your magazine to certain people? Like, if you want to take it to the Baker conversation that people keep bringing up, I don't think you should be allowed to not provide a service to anyone. So if they were saying, you can only buy this magazine if you're heterosexual, then that's fucked. If they want to make a magazine about heterosexual basic marriages and, like, I'm sure that they have some beautiful special on how to do a gender reveal or whatever, go for it.
Yeah.
But
you've
got to let advertisers decide. And also, you're making a magazine about marriage, not about... I mean, call it heterosexual. heterosexual white magazine. Yeah.
But like people like submitting all their beautiful shots of like...
Oh, so companies submit the shots.
Yeah, no, like photographers, like they submit their photos and everything. And they're like, yeah. Why? And then like heaps of people emailing them, questioning them like, why aren't you featuring these beautiful weddings of these like same-sex couples?
Yeah.
And they just completely remain silent. A lady sent them an email, like really polite email, just wanted to clarify. November last year, like never received a single reply about it.
Nothing.
And I love that this is all happening like on the 1 year anniversary of this, the like marriage equality in Australia.
But which people like Lyle Shelton are using. They're sort of saying, look, we were promised no consequences, but surprise, surprise, these beautiful young white Christian people can't run their magazine anymore. Which is so infuriating because people like Lyle Shelton would argue for the idea that, oh, the market will take care of facing discrimination. Right?
Yeah.
So like there are some people who are like, you know, a pub should be able to say no black people in the sign, and then everyone will get together and say, well, I'm not going to the pub, and then the economics and the free market will deliver the justice that we're after here. Yeah. That's exactly what's happened in this circumstance, and suddenly they're crying foul.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the last year, it's been, I think, like 5,420 same-sex marriages. So I feel like that's a lot to not feature in a magazine. That's supposed to be really like...
You're in print media. Like, you need to suck up to anyone that's willing to buy.
There's like absolutely no sympathy.
Yeah, I can just go on Pinterest and see all of those photos.
It's like, so stupid.
Yeah, it was just like, you're losing out all of the money that we are spending now on everything to do with weddings.
Yeah,
like,
someone's worked out how much money on average, they worked out the average spend on a wedding and how many weddings, I can't remember what it was, but it was a phenomenal amount of money that's been spent. And they were saying, had we have gotten marriage equality before New Zealand and Canada, where a lot of gay couples have went to go get married, but they couldn't do it here, we would have made however much more as well.
And so don't you think gays would spend way more
about,
money?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing?
Exactly. Lesbians, that's two dresses.
Oh, yeah,
that's
absolutely. And they build a new pergola out the back. Just
it's all about love, guys.
It's all about love. And that is the bit that makes my skin crawl. Yeah. In this video, it's about love.
Because like,
we're just about loving people?
I didn't watch the video, but I like read the transcript of it. And I was sitting there at work reading it, being like, ugh, gross. Like, do you hear what you're saying right now?
Just
like,
how can they not see how hypocritical?
Complete refusal to engage with what they're actually talking about and how this might affect actually queer people. I would prefer someone say, you're a dirty faggot, and yell that in my face. Yeah. I'm like, I know where you stand, as opposed to these people being like, no, I love you.
Yeah.
I love the sinner, not the sin bullshit. Oh, I was like, that is so patronizing, and you're not listening to anything about what me or my community is saying about our experience, and to patronizingly frame it in this love conversation drives me absolutely mental.
Like, as I was saying, I think it's hilarious that this has happened like at the 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
So I think 5,420 same-sex marriages, that's 5.5% of total marriages in Australia, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot more than New Zealand, which was in their first year. They had 2.4%.
Slightly smaller country. Yeah. Oh, the percentage,
Okay. And then Ireland was 4.7%. Yeah. So, I mean, if there's that many, like, weddings.
It's fantastic.
Like, I'd like to know the statistic of how many weddings we've missed out here in Australia that have gone overseas, though.
Yes, that'd be,
like, that'd be really interesting.
Have you been invited to one?
No,
I haven't been invited. Where are all these fucking...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, weddings happening.
Yeah, I'm working on it, guys.
Yeah.
Brutal wake up call.
I have seen like a big influx on my like Instagram feed of like gay weddings that I'm not invited to.
Yeah, so have I.
Definitely a lot more engagements.
Yeah, for sure.
So if anyone wants entertainment at their gay wedding, please remember that Gays Revolting are available for weddings, parties, anything.
Well, that guy, while we were having drinks before we started recording, asked you to be a celebrant for his wedding.
Yes.
He was quite wasted.
Yeah. I'm not an ordained celebrant, but sure, I'll do it.
Tom was like, sure, I'll do it. it.
I mean, you can get it
if you're gay,
now.
You're allowed to marry anyone now. That's actually the law.
That's actually how it works.
What do we think about the slippery slope? Because this is what the likes of the Israeli Christian lobby.
Oh my God, Kyle, you made a funny joke.
Shut up! So the only reason I bring this up is that I recorded an episode of Husey, We've Got a Problem, which is going to go away next year. And one of the, probably if you haven't seen that show, is people come on, talk about their problems. Comedians offer no help whatsoever. Everybody laughs. It's a great time for all. And one of the guests...
Dave Hughes gets lots of money.
Yeah. It's a good system. And the audience problem for this episode were these two twins, these identical twins. People might be familiar with them. They're called Anna and Lucy. They've been voted the most identical twins in the world.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, they're obsessed with being identical and they have the same partner.
Oh, I have seen them, yes.
Are they the ones that speak at the same time?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that's really weird.
It's full on. But they're both in love with this guy, Ben. They all sleep in the same bed together. And their problem was they want to get married. The current law doesn't allow that. And this is what the likes of the Australian Christian Lobby and Cory Bernardi said, this is inevitable. If we take away the gender restriction of marriage, then it's sort of going to get down to the number thing.
Sure.
And I don't care enough.
I don't care enough either. I mean, the first thing that was about to come out of my mouth was going to be, well, that's not marriage. And why don't they come up with their own terms? I just actually don't care that much if two people want to marry one person.
Two siblings?
Well, it's not like they can have a baby with each other.
No.
Just as long as they're not heterosexual siblings.
Who cares? Let them get married.
Yeah, I mean, if we're gonna go down the full slippery slope path where we were warned of animals and children, I have a problem with that.
I saw a YouTube thing about a girl being in love with a roller coaster yesterday.
A roller coaster can't technically consent, so...
No. She was rubbing oil on her face, it was quite...
I think my thing is consent, and I don't know if they're going to be happy, but if they want to do it, do it.
Yeah.
You don't wanna get, do you want to get married?
I want to have a party.
Yeah.
The party's good.
Mikey, the party.
You want a party?
I definitely want to get married.
Kyle, you want a big white wedding.
No, I don't. No, actually, I don't.
Really?
Yeah. I never thought I wanted marriage, but now, like, staring at weddings every day, like, all day.
Duncan looks so good in a suit.
Josh and I said we want to get married in just, like, a backyard somewhere, in, like, a fancy house. Nice. And, like,
I know. All, like, the most... party. Beautiful weddings.
Kath and Kim style.
Yeah, Kath and Kim style. With like the plastic chairs.
The Velcro dots on
there.
I think I'd want to elope. All the most beautiful weddings I see are like location weddings and it's just like four people and it's like always the most...
I haven't really bothered thinking about it because it's a waste of time, really, in my case.
If I do get married, I'll obviously thank Malcolm Turnbull for... because he's the one.
He's the one.
I mean, that's the other thing, right? There's people rewriting the history and like apportioning the credit as to who it's been. Yeah. And I wrote this line that I'm mildly proud of, which is Malcolm Turnbull taking credit for marriage equality is like Michelle Williams taking credit for Destiny's Child. No.
Yeah.
We were Beyonce, the community the people. The thing we need to remember is that the thing that made that happen is people coming together. Yeah. Like lots and lots of people over a long period of time. It wasn't down to any one person. There'll be a bunch of books coming out about how it all went down. But it's like, no, it was a mass movement of ordinary people working together to achieve that common goal.
And it really was ordinary. Like it warmed my heart to walk down suburban streets and see yes signs. Like my parents asked me to send them a poster to put it up. Like it was genuinely the people doing it. One of the things that made my heart so warm during that some of the final days...
Yeah.
And I was feeling shit, like we were staying up reading these articles till 4 o'clock in the morning, you know. And the Country Women's Association posted a press release for their support. They'd had a meeting, they'd had a vote, and their support for marriage equality. And I thought, how beautiful that these lovely old ducks from the country have thought, you know what we need to do? We need to make a decision. We need to have a vote. Marjorie, take the minutes. Beryl, you're counting the votes. But they wanted to throw their support behind this thing, and you're right. It was a movement. It shouldn't have happened, but it did happen, and it happened because of the people.
Yeah.
So we mentioned the Victorian state election before. Just a little overview for people that might be international or like Kyle don't know what politics are.
Help me.
I think that politics are like a group of people that want to be in a relationship.
Politics is a cheap suit brand.
Politics is an STD that you need to get checked for.
So Australia, roughly similar to America, has a federal government and state governments. We are in Melbourne, which is in the state of Victoria. We currently have what's called the Labor government. So they're in government at the moment. They're in opposition to the Liberal government, which is anything but Liberal.
Yes.
The current government, the Labor government, is the more left of the two major parties. I would say, Tom, you're the politics expert, that they're the most socially progressive state government that Victoria's ever had.
Yes, yes, yeah. And Victoria generally is a very progressive state.
It is a very progressive state. I think it feels like it's pretty safe for the election.
All the polls are indicating a return, for the Andrews government, although they probably will lose a little bit,
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. In a nutshell, this Daniel Andrews state government is very much the big platforms they're running on are things like public transport, social housing, domestic violence. I think they're fucking great.
Yeah, but amazing.
The reason I bring it up is because he's just announced, just before the election, Melbourne's own Pride.
Woo!
Now, we do have the Midsummer Festival, which I love. I performed in Midsummer for the last, since Kyle was born. however many years. Yeah. Now, Midsummer is a 3-week queer arts festival, and it does start with a big party in the gardens.
Oh, the carnival.
It's a carnival day.
My favourite day.
Which is a beautiful big outdoors event with
family events.
Two outdoors. Yeah. Not enough shade of that thing.
Yeah.
No.
Yes, the amount of red gaze that you see for the months of February and March. Yeah.
Well, they do hand out fans and stuff, and you're just like holding them above you. Like,
you don't understand because you're not white. we don't last very long.
Society reminds them every day, Tom.
This is our burden. This is our burden.
Okay.
Do you know how tough it is being white?
No one has it easier.
It's called intersectionality. Okay. All right.
So yeah, it starts with a big party. Yes. Then there's 3 weeks of arts programming, and then there's the parade and stuff at the end of the. So there is some sort of big drinking events, but the majority of it is arts events, including this year. The gays are revolting. Very first live recording. So make sure you buy a ticket. Tickets are selling fast. You can get a ticket at midsummer.org.au.
Matthew Guy promising to shut that down, I believe.
Is that what would make you vote Liberal?
I think it would.
Yeah, so the idea is that this Pride party is sort of more in line with, time-wise, it'll be in line with the prides around the world, because we're sort of on the opposite end of the scale. But also that it's more of a street party where they'll shut down Smith Street and Gertrude Street on the north side in Fitzroy. And have like a big, assuming that it goes the same way that other countries have done it, they usually give like temporary liquor licenses to bookshops and laundrettes and stuff so that they can make money off these massive parties that are happening in the street. I think it's really fucking cool.
I think that's awesome.
I'm interested to see what you guys think about it.
Now it's 2021, and it's it'll be 40 years since homosexuality was decriminalized in
that'll
Victoria.
Be the first year, and then the idea is it'll be annual after that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, finally a chance to drink and take drugs with other homosexuals. I mean, where else have we had this opportunity?
Yeah.
And people were like, "Oh, he's just trying to buy votes from the queer community." He's like, "Yeah, that's how democracy works."
Yeah.
People also say, "Here's an idea. Vote for us, and we'll do this cool idea that we
have." Because that fucking annoys me when people say, "Oh, it's just buying votes." It's like, isn't like every policy they have, the idea is that if you like it, you vote. It's not buying them. Just I like that.
That's not pandering. I think it'd be great if it's, I mean, and there is a Pride parade as part of Midsummer as well. So
that's on the south side. It is important to note that all of the big parties of Midsummer happen on the south side of Melbourne. And this will be on the north side.
I've never been to Midsummer.
I thought you were say you've never been north side.
I'm in north side right now, and it's terrifying. No, I think last year I went to Midsummer. I think it was just because I was working that day. I just went to the last half hour.
But like, see, the main stage.
So it was just people like drunk falling over everywhere.
Yeah, but you're making the mistake that lots of people make. Midsummer is a 3-week program. Midsummer Carnival Day.
I mean, I'm just doing a show at it, but like no idea what.
A lot of people get confused, but Midsummer is a 3-week arts program.
Okay.
The first day of it is the carnival, which people often refer to.
So that's what I would have been at.
Yes, that's what you would have been at, in the gardens, which is a beautiful day. But I just kind of feel like that's more of like a family thing. Bring a picnic, chill out. I want a thing where you got to tattoo your phone number to your arm in case you get found in a hospital in Ballarat, you know.
What I really like about it is that they've said that they're not trying to emulate like a Sydney Pride March at all. Like it's just going to be like a fun street party for everyone. Like we're going to make it very inclusive. I'm super excited.
I feel so excited. Everyone will compare
it's
it to
It's going
to
be
that,
sick.
No, it's completely different. I mean, Sydney's Mardi Gras is like a street party, but it's not like sectioned off areas. My understanding is this will be like Brighton Pride in the UK, which is, I think, the biggest gay pride festival in the world, definitely in Europe.
Yeah.
And I went there last year, and Brighton is a beautiful old city in England on the beach, and very big gay community. And they basically put up hurricane fencing around maybe 12 or 15 city blocks. And then you had to have a ticket to get through those gates. And then all of the street is literally the party. So they've got stages set up in every side street. And so in one one street you have like some gorgeous old queen who's in her 80s doing Liza Minnelli. The next one will be some amazing trans punk band doing like their own original tunes. Mm. The next one will be a celebrity off TV doing stand-up or whatever. And like it's a full-on outdoor festival, but all of the businesses in that area
Take part of it as well. It's kind of reminding me of like when the Yes Party happened after the vote, like when they shut down that street in Carlton and like it was just like a massive celebration. I hope it's that, but like times a million.
That sounds so exciting.
Yeah. And Kylie, he's going for Kylie.
And yes. Danielle Andrews tagged Kylie Minogue in the post. And you know, she owes us. She's from Melbourne. Kylie from Camberwell.
Is Kylie from Melbourne? I didn't know that.
Kylie's from Camberwell.
She is.
Ooh, the local gal.
Yeah. I guess if it won't be a moment of protest, will it? It'll be a celebration party thing. And fuck it. We need more of those because the world's going to hell. Let's have more parties.
And this is the other thing. It's actually smart business. The amount of times that I've flown to Sydney and spent thousands and thousands of dollars in Sydney for Mardi Gras, I planned an entire trip around Europe last year going to all of the Pride festivals. I've done the same in the States. You know, when we go to another city, we want to see our fellow gays. And if I was to go pick a city and I was like, oh, I've got the choice of these two cities, but one of them's going to have a Pride festival, and when I go there, I'm going to go for the one with the Pride festival.
June, July.
Yeah.
In Melbourne.
Yeah.
What?
It'll be wet.
It's going to be hard to be slutty then.
I can wear my fur jacket.
It's fine. It'll probably be 45 degrees.
Well, international listeners, Melbourne has crazy weather.
I've been to three London Prides, and I've never once not been rained on. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
It'll be okay.
It is interesting. I wonder how much of a vote where it is, whether anyone's sort of voting for something that might they say will happen in 3 years' time. If you're voting on queer issues when it comes to the two major parties, I mean, it's like the Liberal Party said they'll scrap safe schools in all government schools across the board. I think there is this weird Christian right-wing thing going on in the Liberal Party in Victoria at the moment, which is, you know, pro-life level stuff of people trying to influence that world. So, I don't know, people may be listening to this in a Matthew Guy Victoria, which would be horrible. But, yeah, I'd be interested to see how much it happens. And I really respect the fact that Daniel Andrews has laid out a whole bunch of things that says, you know, this is a fair way down the track. He started a whole bunch of things that he's not going
to
sign off.
And I think he sort of has a good track record of committing to things and getting them done over the 4 years. His public infrastructure stuff, like everyone was like, no state government has accomplished this. Like Jeff Kennett did a lot of stuff, but you know, not many have done much.
Yeah.
And he has pretty much done everything
that he
promised.
He's literally turned all of Melbourne into a construction site.
Do you know what I really like? I'm sorry, just to go on a nerdy tangent. I really like public infrastructure and I love public transport. My favorite place in the world is the London Transport Museum. They have an entire museum in London.
You love public transport.
With old trains. They have a Melbourne tram there and stuff. Anyway.
Cool.
I really love it, but I also love old buildings. And so I was so pleased when they decided that they were just going to knock down all the 80s buildings in Melbourne to put train stations in and just leave up all the beautiful ones around. Like, literally, the places where our new train stations are going to be have been decided by which buildings are ugly and we can knock down.
That's awesome.
And it's important to point out that you're right, Tom. Like, Labour is a huge supporter of the LGBTI community. There's other things in their promises for the next term that include a $2.5 million pledge to expand family counselling service for LGBTI Victorians, $500,000 for mental health support in the LGBTI community, $3 million towards targeting the root causes of homelessness for LGBTI Victorians. I think a lot of people forget that homeless people statistically are more likely to be LGBTI, as well as their ongoing support for things like Midsummer Festival and Pride Festival and stuff like that. So there's a lot of stuff happening. I think it was an extra $200,000 for Pride events in rural areas in Victoria, which is great. I don't know if you guys have been to Chill Out Festival.
No.
Geelong now have their own. Your hometown,
Warrnambool,
now has its own Pride.
What?
Yes, I found out Warrnambool has a little Pride weekend, which is cute.
Oh,
that's for half an hour on a Sunday. But
I'll give that a few years to bed in before I pop down there.
No, they might want you to come and speak. You've got the spare time now, haven't you?
Busy, very busy. Always busy.
And it is important to be reaching out to our rural communities as well.
Whereas the Liberals have said they won't kill us.
Yes, so, which is nice.
It's always a plus.
They've given preferences to someone that supports conversion therapy. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, There's a few. They've had a few dodgy preference things going on. Just listen. If you respect yourself... Oh, it's too late by the time you hear this, but I really... If you voted Liberal, I hope you filled out the form wrong.
So my favourite obsession this week that I've just found because they've just posted photos online is Ezra Miller. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
The Playboy shoot that Ezra did. Oh, it was so beautiful. What I love is that he is the first, he's gender queer, I guess, male presenting person to ever be on the cover of Playboy, which is incredible, which is inherently a very like heterosexual, over sexualizing magazine of women.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the photos?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I saw the photos. I didn't realize it was the actual Playboy magazine.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, because like, aren't they like known for like misogyny?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They're known for misogyny. People say they're also known for exploitation, and it's sort of, I kind of feel like it's the girl's choice as to, I don't know. Exploitation is the right word. But yeah, they are generally known as a fairly misogynistic thing. But they also are very good at business. They've gone from something like, I think
Unlike White Magazine.
Unlike White Magazine.
Because the readership has dropped dramatically.
Yeah, it's gone from like 5.5 million in the 80s
like 800,000
a month. But they are very well known for making lots of money.
Yeah.
And I think what they're doing is looking at the world and going, people aren't really just one thing or the other anymore. And guys sometimes kind of want to fuck other guys, even if that's not what they always do, or they're at least like thinking about it. And maybe they're going to go back to the days of hiding your Playboy magazine under the bed. Not because it's got titties on it, but because it's got like a hot dude that you're sexually attracted to, even if you don't really identify as someone that's attracted to hot dudes. So,
do you think they were just waiting for Hugh Hefner to die? Put a dude on the.
Finally, like, no more big
Stanley kind of looks like Hugh Hefner.
Maybe he's next. The only thing I will, someone pointed out on my Facebook feed, which I had a little cackle at, is the shoes don't fit.
And
it's kind of frustrating because it's such a beautifully.
The gayest thing you could say about.
It was a good point. I think it's such a beautiful shoot, and it's so stylized, and it's so fucking hot, and no human being can look at that shot.
No.
I don't care who you are or who you're attracted to, but the heels, like there's an inch like and a half on the back of his heel.
So much gap.
Yeah, I know.
Did you think it was supposed to be like that?
No, I don't think it was. No. When you notice that, you start going, oh, it's a little bit hot boy on Halloween.
Yeah. It was sort of like they looked up his wiki page, and it was just like, oh, shoe size, 14.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's incorrect.
But aside from the heel size, I think it's really fucking hot. And it's progressive.
Cool. Yeah, he's got amazing facial structure.
Yeah,
like,
beautiful.
So good. I just saw Fantastic Beasts with him recently.
Oh, yes.
He is a bit of a Fantastic Beast, I will say.
See, I had no idea who he is because I didn't know any celebrities after 1996 except for Tom Ballard. And but he's fucking hot. And I will watch stuff that he's in now that I've seen those pictures.
Because also Dumbledore is gay, what?
Are they going to be bringing that up?
It's like, it could have been hinted at more. Like, he holds hands with another guy and it's like implied, but like,
okay,
yeah,
more subtle.
Yeah, it's more subtle. Also, Ezra Miller's that runway look when he was wearing that black puffy thing. What the
oh my
fuck?
God,
no, I was like, you look like a cockroach. What are you doing?
Now, Ezra is bisexual,
polyamorous,
and
pansexual.
Wait,
pansexual.
Queer. What's polyamorous again? Like, is that with multiple people?
When a
is
boy like Mormons? Loves a girl, but like multiple
and
another
girls.
Girl, and sometimes a boy as well.
Okay, I was just checking.
Polyamorous is people that have. Multiple relationships at the same time. And sometimes all of those people are in the same relationship or they could be different
relationships.
Wow, must be nice. Well, like, so many people that
like, he hasn't definitively said whether he likes men or women. He's I like everyone.
Yeah, great.
Like, that's
good
just,
on him. And I think after this photo shoot, everyone likes
him. Yeah. Freaking lately.
And he's sort of genderqueer as well, identifies as both and neither, and then still takes male pronouns and stuff. And it's just sort of fucking up and blowing up the whole system.
Yeah. I've seen a few different articles using different pronouns for him. So I'm not really sure what he prefers, but I think George Takei posted something on Facebook and he's them, they. And then other articles I read were just saying him and his.
Well, I mean, just whatever he wants, really.
Yeah, whatever he wants.
I mean, like,
and,
whatever,
and often there are people. I know the lovely Mama Alto is happy using she or her as well as they and them. Like, it's, there are people that are fine sort of switching between different pronouns, which is great.
I think it's amazing that he's like in all these really big blockbuster films. Like, all the like the genres that I like he's like The Flash and Justice League.
I didn't
know
he was The Flash.
He's The Flash. What? It's not Marvel, but like, it's DC. He's and in Fantastic Beasts, I think it's like great representation.
Because
like
he was in Perks of a Wallflower.
The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Yeah, I think that was like one of the first things I ever saw. I mean,
yeah, I guess when you look at it from a generational perspective, you would wouldn't have seen Pierce Brosnan doing this kind of photo shoot when he was James Bond kind of thing.
I mean, I would so love that.
But... that you can now be this person.
Definitely.
And that, like, there's no rules about ruining your image or your brand or anything.
Yeah. It was also, we need to talk about Kevin. So it's great to know that genderqueer people can be psychopaths as well, you know?
Which one was that? Oh, yeah, sorry. Kevin? Yeah.
With Tilda Swinton? Have you seen that one?
What movie?
We need to talk about Kevin.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, he was Kevin, and Kevin wanted to kill everyone.
Oh, yeah. Cool. That's nice.
Oh, well, in other queer news...
It's like, well,
no. Queer people can be psychopaths as well.
Yes.
Equality.
Yes. That's why they should go to therapy.
But did you guys hear about how Jaden Smith said at like a live concert or something that he was with Tyler the Creator now?
He's my fucking boyfriend.
But I was like, okay, cool. But then like he said it again in like another interview. But then Tyler hasn't commented on it at all.
Ooh, that's cold.
Like, not a thing. Okay, the video of him saying that on stage. Yeah. The camera then pans to Tyler the Creator.
Yeah.
Who's going like, nah.
What are you talking about?
You're a crazy N-word man. I think it's like this weird trolling bullshit that I'm actually not into at all. And I think, and I don't know what happened. I know there were lyrics on a Tyler the Creator record that people were like, oh, maybe he's gay. He's like, wasn't he like obnoxiously homophobic?
Absolutely.
Same situation with Troye Sivan. I've been telling everyone. We have this cute little joke where he pretends like it's not happening.
And he pretends like he has no idea who you are.
Yeah, it's so cute.
But wasn't Eminem, in a previous episode, we were talking about how Eminem was coming for Tyler the Creator, like calling him gay. Yeah. All right.
So, Tom, you think it might actually be more of a homophobic joke, Phil?
It's a joke that I have no time for. I have no time for this kind of playing with the media expectations. It seems to me very clear that Jaden, they're like fucking around and they're trying to create some kind of thing that I just think is like, even if Jaden, I think Jaden identifies as sort of genderqueer, right?
Yeah. And Willow and Jaden are like very like woke.
Yeah.
Sure. But it's just like, don't fuck around with that stuff and be like, oh, imagine if you were gay. Like that is the most schoolyard bullshit that you ever imagine. If you want to come out, then come out. And if you don't want to come out, that's fine.
But this kind of middle ground stuff is just a bit like,
I mean, it sends the wrong message. If they are queer people wanting to do anything and broadcast that to the world, you're kind of undermining yourself, I think.
Do you know what genderqueer person I fucking love? Technically celebrity. And I am bringing it back into the Australia world because that's the only thing I know. Christian Wilkins.
Who's that?
Oh.
I am obsessed. I'm actually a little bit in love as well. So, you know, Richard Wilkins, the gossip reporter on Australian television. That's Richard his name, Wilkins. Isn't it?
Yes, Richard Wilkins.
So his son, a year or two ago, he was at an event with his son. Now, Richard is a camp guy and was at an event with this handsome younger man who was quite camp looking as well. And all these newspapers reported it as Richard Wilkins with is this his new boyfriend and stuff and he was like, fuck you, that's my son, I'm so fucking proud of him. But Christian is the most amazing person, and I feel guilty because when I first saw him I made some assumptions about intellectual abilities and things like that. I thought, oh, you're one of those pretty basic gays. He's actually stunning, and I don't know if you saw at the Melbourne Cup he was at an event and got homophobic abuse.
Really?
Looked fucking incredible, wearing a frock. I say frock because I'm 80 years old, but wearing this like gorgeous sort of dress thing, this veil and stuff.
He's so handsome. Stunning. Sorry, I've just googled him.
He's stunning.
Gorgeous.
Oh, he's got good hair.
Yeah. And he can fight. Like, he like gave it to this guy at the Melbourne Cup, at this like fucking drunk bogan, gross, disgusting pig.
He fought him.
Yeah, like verbally, like sassed him, posted pictures of him on Instagram, on Twitter, and everyone has gone for this guy now as well. Anyway, that's my little genderqueer hero.
How could you go to the races, the gayest event of all, and be homophobic towards people? The drunkest.
There are drag queens everywhere. What are you talking about? Like,
they were the horses, actually. Yeah. Miss Candy hasn't looked better.
Well, I'd like to just say thank you again for Tom for coming and filling in for dear old Luke, who isn't with us today. It's been lovely having you on the show.
It's such a treat.
Yeah.
What's better than one Tom, two Toms?
Said no one. Josh said the same thing. Oh!
Why would you ruin it?
We'll cut it. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials, on Facebook and Twitter, at Gage Revolting. And of course, don't forget to check out Tom's show in the new year, Enough.
It's called Enough. It's coming to Perth, Brisbane, Melbourne and Sydney. If you go to comedy.com.au, that'll have all the details updated. There'll be a bit of gay content in there. I'll be on stage.
Are there links to Jennifer Lopez's Enough? Because I love that movie.
I don't watch that, actually.
You should probably do a bit about it in your show.
Okay.
Now you've got fucking Kyle Dowsett writing jokes for you. This is not going to
even
go
I know that's bad.
Yeah, the slippery slope thing. That was good.
Thank you. He can come back. Also, don't forget to get tickets to our live show for Midsummer. Get your tickets at midsummer.org.au. And thanks again for listening today for our show. And goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.